From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. At least 132 people were killed in Baghdad today in the worst attack in the Iranian capital this year. Two car bombs exploded within minutes of each other during the morning rush hour. More than 500 people were wounded. NPR's Quil Lawrence says it appears insurgents want to make Iraqis feel less secure in advance of elections this January.
Most people looking at it say they think that the attackers are trying to undermine the government here. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has campaigned now on the idea that he's delivered security to Iraq. And this is armed groups, extremist groups saying, no, you haven't. We can still get through. We can still get huge car bombs right into the center of Baghdad's government district and cause massive casualties.
NPR's Quil Lawrence in Baghdad. In Afghanistan, an American service member has died in a bombing. U.S. officials say the attack occurred yesterday in the southern part of the country. Today in Kabul, Afghan police fired shots in the air to break up a demonstration by as many as 1,000 students. They were protesting because of a rumor that foreign troops had burned a copy of the Quran. A spokesman for U.S. and NATO-led forces in Afghanistan blamed the Taliban for spreading a false rumor. Israeli forces stormed the holiest shrine in Jerusalem today, known as Temple Mount to Jews and the Noble Sanctuary to Muslims. They fired stun grenades to disperse stone-throwing Palestinians. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro is on the scene. She says the site has been a flashpoint for violence in the past.
It's a very sensitive area where many clashes have broken out over the past few weeks. It is a site that is both sacred to Muslims and Jews, and it has been the site of many a conflagration.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro in Jerusalem. UN inspectors are in Iran on a three-day mission to examine a recently revealed, though still unfinished, uranium enrichment facility. Dale Gavlak reports.
The International Atomic Energy Agency's Director of Safeguards is heading the team that will inspect Iran's second enrichment plant still under construction 100 miles south of Tehran. Iran said the centrifuge plant buried inside a mountain near Qom will refine uranium only for civilian nuclear energy. Western diplomats and analysts say the facility's capacity appears too small to fuel a nuclear power station, but maybe enough to yield fissile material for one or two nuclear warheads a year. Meanwhile, Iran's parliament speaker has accused the West of trying to cheat the country with a UN-drafted plan that would ship most of Iran's uranium to Russia for enrichment. Iran said it is still studying the proposal and will formally respond to the offer this week. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Amman.
The main militant group in Nigeria called for an indefinite ceasefire today to allow for negotiations. Members have been attacking oil installations for 3 years, calling for a more equitable share of the country's wealth. This is NPR News from Washington. Egyptian officials now say at least 18 people died in a train collision south of Cairo yesterday. Dozens more were injured. They say a passenger train had stopped on a track after hitting a large animal, either a cow or a water buffalo. It was rear-ended by the second train that was going at full speed. The office of Senator Edward Kennedy, who died 2 months ago, is shutting down this weekend, but Kennedy's staff members will not be leaving Capitol Hill. NPR's Craig Windham has more.
The placard with Kennedy's name is gone, the only indication that the office on the third floor of the Russell Senate office building was once his is the seal of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which still hangs on the door. Inside, staff members have been packing and wrapping up constituent work now that the two-month period set aside for those tasks has come to an end. Kennedy has been succeeded on an interim basis by his longtime friend, advisor, and former staffer, Paul Kirk. Kirk says while the office will close, there is a legacy about the place that will never end. He added that those rooms are filled with history. Kennedy had a staff of more than 40 people, and Kirk has asked them to stay on and work for him until January, when a special election will be held for a senator to fill out the remainder of Kennedy's term. Craig Windham, NPR News, Washington.
Some hospitals have opened drive-thrus to treat people with the H1N1 swine flu. The idea is to keep infectious people out of regular emergency rooms. Hospitals will also be able to seek permission to open alternative care sites, such as community centers and schools. Now that President Obama has declared the flu outbreak a national emergency, authorities say more than 1,000 people have died in the U.S., including almost 100 children. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.